Well, thank you for that, Brother Matthew. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a pleasure to worship here with you this morning. You can open your Bibles with me to Psalm 78. We'll be kind of leaping off right here. Recently, I've heard a number of you make some comments about some of the young parents here have made some comments about how having children will change your life, change your perspective on life, and some of those older ones have made comments about how do we actually pass on the faith to our children. See, Kevin had a topic just on Wednesday about how God designed generation and generation and generation. It just keeps going on and on and on. Well, I've been thinking a lot about this myself and asking myself some very basic questions. What are the values that I'm passing on to my children? Do I have values worth sharing to my children? And am I communicating them? So that's kind of where I want to go with the message this morning. As God opens our heart to His Word here. Let's read these verses in Psalm 78, 1 to 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your heart, your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Did you catch the thought that the psalmist is presenting here, that we heard our fathers tell us a story, and we want to pass this same story on to our children? And it's not just a made-up fairy tale, is it? It's about what God has done. He says here in verse 4, the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And I'd be curious to know how many generations you see in this text right here. Is it three? Is it four? Is it five? Is it six? But the point is that this is passed on to the next generation, who will pass it on to the next generation. That's the point. And what do we pass on? Well, we pass on what we know about God and what He's done. And what is the purpose of passing it on? In verse 7, it says that they might set their hope in God. And I love the way the psalmist words that here. I couldn't word it better. We don't just want them to know the stories. We want them to set their hope in God. Hope will drive you to do amazing things. Amazing things. If you have hope. And if you lose hope. If you lose hope. You'll give it all up. When you could have done amazing things. And our hope is not set in anything here. That is just a false a false hope, but our hope is set in God. And if we can direct the next generation to set their hope in God, we have accomplished our purpose for sure. I've titled this message, Godly Values Worth Sharing. Godly Values Worth Sharing. I have a lot of questions about this, and I know we come from a lot of different backgrounds here this morning. But I do believe that we can all be involved in some way in sharing godly values. Whether you're a parent or not, whether you've lived a perfect life or not, we can all share godly values in one way or other. And I just want us to grasp the importance of having godly values and sharing them. My first point this morning has to do with me looking in my own life and seeing what my values are. So I've titled it, Aligning Our Values with God's Values. That's where it has to begin. Before we can share our values, we need to have, before we can share godly values, we need to have godly values. I think we understand that. But it was a big project for me to sit down and think, what are the godly values? And what are my values? Are my values aligned with God's values? And that's what I want to take a look at here before we talk about communicating our values to others. So first of all, what are the things that we tend to value? Maybe we shouldn't even look at that first. But we won't spend a lot of time here. What are the things we tend to value? All you have to do is watch a group of two-year-olds, and it's very obvious what our tendencies are. And in short, we value ourselves. That's what we tend to value. We value ourselves. We value our own personal comfort and pleasure. We value our personal survival and health. We value our personal success. And on on our bad days, we just want the candy and the toys. And in our good days, we want a long-range success. And often they're both very selfish. We value our personal image. We want people to accept and admire us. And two-year-olds don't struggle with this quite as much as when we get a little bit older. Then we want people to accept and admire us. And we try to find acceptance by good behavior. We try to find acceptance by bad behavior. We try to impress people with our stuff and with our appearance. And all of these spring out of selfish values, our own tendencies. And then right along with all of this, any means of achieving these values will go to any means or method to be able to accomplish our values. And we see these tendencies in our own hearts to control and dominate, to use money or possessions or health for ourselves. That's where our values tend to go. And we're all the same way as we take a look at our own hearts. But what are godly values? That's what I want to look at. What are godly values? And whether you're a parent with young children or not, I encourage all of us to stop and analyze what godly values are. What are they? What is valuable to God? What does God want for us to have to consider valuable for ourselves. Jesus summed it up in, he had a way of doing that, didn't he? He summed it up with his life, and he summed it up in some conversations that he had and some stories that he told. And you remember where he was approached by a lawyer that said, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he summed it up by saying, well, I should turn there. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. He summed it up by saying, the greatest commandment is to love God, and then, you do that by loving your neighbor. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jesus, like I said, summed it up in a few words, and he summed it up by living it out. What are godly values? There is nothing valuable apart from God. There is nothing valuable apart from his ways and his word. What are godly values? Some of the prophets sum it up, and I had to think of Micah 6:8. Micah had a difficult message to bring, basically that God was going to have to bring punishment and destruction because his people were not following him. And he summed it up in short, here's what you should have done: to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. He sums it up in those three. All of God's values are summed up in those three ways. In Micah 6:8, to do justly and to love mercy. Here these people were taking advantage of the oppressed people, the poor and the widows and the fatherless. And God says, I set up civil government and I set up positions of authority so that these people would be taken care of, not taken advantage of. And because of that, he had to destroy the whole nation. And he said, you do that by walking humbly with me. What are godly values? Thirdly, it is faith. I was thought of Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This term faith is a big word, and it's used in a lot of ways. And I like how this verse defines it in the verse. How does it define verse? How does it define faith in this verse? He that cometh to God must believe what? That he is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe diligently seeking God is faith. And we diligently seek him because we believe there is reward in doing so. That is faith. What are the godly values? Generosity and compassion. James mentions this several times in his book. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. John says it like this: but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And lastly here, To see the perfect display of godly values, we simply need to look at the life of Jesus. The way he lived, the things he taught, the way he gave his life. He laid down his life for others. The display of godly values. I don't know how much confusion we have over what godly values actually are. I think they're taught pretty clearly. I think they're pretty clear in the scripture. But it's easy for us to think we know them, but then not live them out. Are those really values if that's the case? We don't value them if that's the case. And so we need to know them, but they need to be valuable to us as well. And this short list of values that I just listed here steps all over my toes. because, like the group of two-year-olds, I want to live for myself. And God is, in short, telling us, lay down our lives for others and live for him and build his kingdom. How do we align our values with God's values? How do we do that? And I'll just touch on this briefly. First of all, repentance. An honest evaluation of ourselves reveals that our value system is completely wrong. We aren't just a little confused or misguided. That's not me. Our value system is completely wrong. We don't just need a little adjustments here and there. What we need is actual repentance. What we need is genuine sorrow for sin. And not just wishing that we hadn't got caught, or not just wishing we didn't have bad consequences for our actions, but we need to actually weep and mourn our separation from God. We actually need to weep and mourn the pain that we cause God. We actually need to weep and mourn our lost condition and repent of it. Repentance is to change. Simply to change. To reverse course. Now, we'd think that repentance is a one-time performance. We like to think that anyways. Where maybe you walk the aisle, or maybe you repeat a prayer, and that's, you got your repentance over with. Repentance, however, is a constant attitude of humility before God. And it's simply recognizing reality. God's ways are good, and my ways aren't. And we repent, and we're continually in that honest attitude of humility before God. That's repentance, which leads to conversion. How do we align our values with God's values? That is by conversion. Conversion, how do we change? How do we become something different than a selfish two-year-old? I'd love for you to explain that to me. because we get older without trying, but we don't necessarily get wiser or actually change. God is set about to change us. And in the study of his word, in prayer with him, he shows us. His word's like a mirror, isn't it? It reveals who we are, and it also reveals himself. I believe conversion is brought about by self-denial. Jesus taught this very clearly. Not that we can change ourselves, but we do have a part to play. And we must say no to the fleshly and wrong desires, and we must lay down our life for others' needs. That requires self-denial. Conversion is brought about by fellowship with other believers, and I believe in a strong commitment to support the local body of Christ. I believe in open accountability in small groups. I believe in seeking out believers wherever we go to encourage them. And there are many things that you can analyze in your life. What brings about the change? We have to continually be opening our lives up to God and His work in our lives. And He uses these means and methods to change us, to grow us. How do we align our values with God's values? We talked about repentance and conversion. And I believe that this is all for a reason. Not just to change and better ourselves. Okay? Because if it's just about changing and bettering ourselves, I don't know if we've gotten anywhere yet. Okay? And I believe that we must... The purpose of all of this is to fulfill the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? In other words, our conversion is not meant to stop with us. It doesn't end here. It starts here. And it's like a grassroots movement that grows out from here. It's like a ripple that spreads and creates more ripples. And I believe that's how the Apostle Paul saw his own conversion experience, as something that couldn't stop with the Apostle Paul, but it had to spread around the globe. How do we align our values with God's values? True conversion means that we no longer live for ourselves, we now live for others. And the best thing we can do for others is to lead them to God. And so that must be the effect of us aligning our values with God's values, is us accomplishing His Great Commission for us in our lives. How are we doing? Well, I want to talk about one way we do that, and that is specifically to us as parents, how we communicate that to our children. I believe that is definitely a huge part of our Great Commission, communicating godly values to our children. So this brings me to the second point of my message. How do we communicate godly values to our children? Is it even possible? I've heard it said that God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children, right? We each need to have a personal relationship with God as a child of God. And our children need to have a personal relationship with God as a child of God. Can we transmit faith in God through us to the next generation? I don't know if you can grasp the question that I'm struggling with here. Can it be transmitted or transferred through us? If faith is transferred through generations of godliness, what chance do people have who are born into ungodly homes? Do they have any chance? If faith is transmitted through godly generations? Or what about on the opposite side, children who are raised in godly homes and they choose to throw it all away and live a life of sin? And there's a lot of examples of that in Scripture. And so maybe I'm asking questions that are too hard to answer. And I don't want to undermine my own point here, but I want to be honest about the questions that we have, as in the middle of this, we get a little disillusioned sometimes. What is the point? Can I make a difference? Can I actually transmit the faith? And what does the Bible teach? And I believe that God intends for godly parents to transmit godly values to their children. Okay? That's not negotiable. And I believe that God has chosen to do this through faulty human parents that make mistakes. And I believe that He has a perfect plan in all of that, because it's through that He actually teaches real life lessons. But anyways, God intends for godly parents to transmit godly values to their children. And I think we can all agree on this. And I know we come from different backgrounds. And maybe we've experienced this in different ways this morning. But this is God's method for transmitting faith. I want to read some verses here. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So you keep them diligently, and then you teach your sons and your grandsons, he says here. And that kind of sums up my two points of my message. So you live it, and then you teach it. You live it, and then you teach it. And don't just teach it to your sons, you teach it to your grandsons. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Here's another one in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, and on thy gates. I think God believed that parents should transmit their godly values to their children. Solomon says it like this in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't wait to train adults. Don't wait to train teenagers. Children are so impressionable when they're 1 year old and 2 years old. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not be able to get those principles and patterns out of his mind for the rest of his life. The things that he or she learns and hears and sees at an impressionable age. And we all know that there are things we picked up and learned before we were even born, some studies show. And then before we can even remember things, the things that made impressions on us. They are in some ways irreversible. And Solomon just points out this basic concept. You train up a child, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It works both ways, but it's a concept that we all can relate to. One more verse, Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that is my first point, that it is God's intent that parents teach their children. And we see that reinforced in these verses. Secondly, parents communicate their values to their children unintentionally. We communicate our values to our children unintentionally. And that's a good thing. Even if you don't intend to communicate your values, you will do so. So some of this happens by default. You don't even have to try it. Your values are going to be on full display wherever you go, to your children. And they will learn from you what your values are. And so some of this makes it a little easier for us, and at the same time makes it harder for us. Because we wish we could just write out our values and then have our children memorize that list. But it doesn't work that way. Our children learn from us what our values are by seeing what we do in real life. And it makes it all the more important for us to have godly values as part of our core. to model the person that we want our children to become, to actually model that, to lead by example what we want to teach. More is caught than taught. You've probably heard that phrase. More is caught than taught. And we see that shown in our own children. I've been amazed with each of our infant children, how quickly they are responding and copying the sounds we make, the motions that we have with our hands, even our facial expressions. They copy all of those things as infants. And it's humorous and sobering at the same time that we are passing along our values to our children unintentionally. The way that you live your life reveals your true values. The things that you are actually interested in are revealed in a lot of ways. The things you talk about, the music and podcasts you listen to, the books and news articles that you read, your hobbies, your dreams and ambitions and goals. Maybe it's the things you take pictures of, and then you post it on your status. Maybe the stories you tell about your day. Maybe it's these things are revealed in the little comments that you make. And we make a lot of little comments in a day's time that we may not think anything of, but they've gone on and they've transmitted our values. Maybe we tell our son, "Don't scratch my truck." What values did you communicate with that little comment? First of all, it's not God's truck, it's my truck, is one value we communicated. And you don't scratch it. Why? What was the value behind that comment or that thought? Does it matter if a truck is scratched or not? Anyways, just a little example that one little comment can actually transmit many values in one little, even the tone of voice and the way it's said can transmit values. The little things that catch our attention and that we make these comments on reveal our values, because there's so many things to grab your attention. It might be the beautiful hues of the sunset as you're driving down the road, and you tell your son, "Look at that truck." Or, you know, there's so many things that could grab your attention. And the things that do grab our attention reveal our values. They just do. And I make this point because the values that we transmit them unintentionally in so many, many ways. The things that make us happy. My children know the things that make me happy. And the things that bring a sparkle to your eye and a smile to your face communicate what your values are to your children. They do. Unintentionally, they do. Your reaction to disappointments. I'm sure you've had at least one of those or two of those in your lifetime. And we react so quickly to things that disappoint us. Some days feel like it's just a long series of disappointments. And it seems like our reactions create more. But our reactions to disappointments reveal our values to our children. And I don't want to ask a question that's too deep, but do you control your reactions? Or are they just there automatically? Are they stuff you learned when you were an infant? Some of these things are hard to figure out and hard to change. You know, reactions just kind of happen without a conscious thought, don't they? And at some levels, and we studied this in biology last year, when you touch something hot, you actually respond or react without the nerve impulse even reaching the brain. It only has to reach the lower part of the upper part of your spinal cord. So at a certain level, reactions happen without a conscious thought. On a deeper level, we do train ourselves, and our values inform our reactions, and it's our reactions that show our children exactly who we are on a very raw level, exactly who we are, and then there's nothing hid in our reactions about who we are. So the first words out of our mouth, and then the grudges that we harbor years later. These are all reactions that we take, and our children observe them. How else do we unintentionally communicate our values? The way we spend our time, the way we spend our money, and so forth. In so many ways, we unintentionally communicate our values to our children. How else do we communicate our values? Secondly, parents communicate their values to their children intentionally. And this is the part that I want to drive home just as hard. We intentionally choose how we are going to communicate our values to our children. That's, I believe, one of the reasons you're here at church this morning with your children, that you want them to be here, and you are making it a point to intentionally spread your values in this way. Maybe it is through family worship. Maybe it is through the way you have your personal Bible reading that you display to your children that this is a part of your values, and you intentionally do it that way in order to transmit your values. Maybe it is by how you select the reading material that your children have. Maybe it is by the Christian education and the curriculum that you choose for your children to be taught by. These things are in ways that we intentionally transmit faith to our children. And I believe this is a big one, because in these intentional things, we can transmit values that we didn't intend to. Now, I don't mean to be contradicting myself here, but let's say that you go to church and you have family worship and you read your Bible, and in doing all of these intentional things, you unintentionally show your children that you do them out of duty, or you do them half-heartedly, or you do them hypocritically, instead of intentionally transmitting the values. We actually are doing the opposite. We actually are doing the opposite. And in these ways, we actually undermine those values and teach what our real values are. And so I just raise a warning against doing these things hypocritically, grudgingly, or half-heartedly. We need to believe in these values and intentionally pass them on to our children. How do parents communicate their values to their children? Parents make the most of teaching moments. I go to Deuteronomy 6, verses 20 to 22. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then shalt thou say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Here, Moses tells them that your son's going to ask you a question. These questions come in lots of forms. These questions that our children ask are teaching moments. These questions are teaching moments. Make the most of teaching moments. Two-year-olds ask a lot of questions that start with why. And the moment you answer a why question, they just ask why again. And it never stops. 4-year-olds ask a lot of questions that start with what? 6-year-olds ask a lot of questions that start with did. Teenagers ask a lot of questions that start with can. Anyways, the point is they ask lots of questions at different stages of life. Different questions. And what do you do? What do we do with these teaching opportunities? We're all busy, and it's easy to brush these moments off with just a, could you please get out of my way and be quiet? But these are teaching moments, and we need to take them. And Moses told the people there in Deuteronomy, when your son asks you this question, please take that opportunity. Please tell them about how you were bondmen in Egypt and how God brought you out with a powerful hand. Please take that opportunity. We want our children to come to us with their questions. And it's important that they do. Children have so many questions. And guess what? There are so many places for them to go to find answers. And we don't want our children going to find answers. We want them to come to us. And when they do come to us, we need to be ready to seize on those moments and actually give them answers that make sense. Give them answers that make sense. Don't give them confusing answers. And we confuse our children when we tell them answers like, well, it's the way we've always done it, or the preachers make us do this. Give them a real answer for their question. Explain what you believe, why you believe it. Know what the Bible says about it. Know why it works for you. And give supporting evidence. the supporting evidence is all around us. Jesus saw supporting evidence all around him. We just look for it. It's right there. And we can give examples, stories from our own lives, stories out of the Bible, stories in nature. And we can answer our children's questions when they come and ask us. We must give them answers. And if we don't know the answer, I think it's okay to tell them, you know, I don't know, but we're going to find out. We're going to figure it out. I'm going to ask Grandpa. We might have to tell him that. or let's see what the Bible says about it. How do we communicate our values to our children? Parents communicate their values to their children by admitting their mistakes. And I wonder if God intended for children to be raised by human parents that made mistakes. I wonder if that was intentional. Because I think our children learn so much by seeing us make mistakes. But it's important how we handle these mistakes. My parents weren't perfect, and they probably taught us children more by coming back and apologizing than by doing it perfectly the first time around. Be humble and honest about who you are as parents. Admit your failures. Apologize properly. Make it right. Make it right. When you've wronged your children, when you've wronged your neighbor, when you've wronged God, make it right and change your ways. Some people find it easy to just keep doing it wrong and just keep asking for forgiveness. And we can't expect our children to live with that. But admit your failures, apologize properly, change your ways. And I believe we do this right on open display before our children, and they learn so much as we walk humbly before God. Fourthly, parents communicate their values to their children by rewarding good behavior and punishing bad behavior. Children should be expected to do family chores. There's so many values that are taught just in real life survival. We have to live. We have to survive. And our children need to be taught these life skills. Children should be expected to do family chores. They should see their name on a job chart somewhere, and they should see their progress. It should be something that they see. A job well done should be rewarded. And I don't know how you reward your children for a job well done. It might be a compliment. It might be a sticker. It might be a smiley face. I believe the biggest reward for a job well done is a job well done. In other words, what's the reward for cleaning the house? It's a clean house. And we teach values by having our children learn to do these things, and they learn to experience the reward of living out these values. Bad behavior must be called out and addressed. We know the verse, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. If the pain of disobedience must exceed the pleasure of it, and the reward of doing what's right should exceed the pleasure of doing what's wrong. These values are taught to children at a young age, and as they make their risk reward assessments, they learn how to get what they want. And so there must be pain for doing wrong, and there must be reward for doing right. And that's how they learn these values. In conclusion, what do I value? What do you value? Are my values worth sharing with others? Are they worth sharing with my children? How can I align my values with God's values? This is a daily experience, aligning our values with God's values. The repentance and the conversion that takes place in our lives on a daily basis. How can I effectively communicate godly values to my children? And I just desire this morning that God would give each one of us wisdom to model godly values by our example, to understand godly values and explain them to our children, to make the most of those teaching moments, to consistently practice what we preach, that we would raise a generation that the psalmist says has their hope set in God. And we could raise a generation like that. Let's kneel together and pray.